Welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located over 454 West King Street, 265-1886. Just a few digits away from some delicious pizza, 264-4905. Just a few digits away from talking to some of the greatest sports guys that you've ever heard. Well, that might be a little biased and a little egotistical, but either way.
Have you ever taken a dose of humility or have you ever eaten a bite of humble pie?
I've been served humble pie a few times for sure.
Bill Belichick will serve you a big portion of that. Hey,
Really? Real quick,
I want to get this in. We were talking about the Patriots 59-0 victory over the Titans on Monday. This is by far one of the coolest things I've ever heard after a victory. You know how everybody gets somebody gets a game ball? Bill Belichick took the time to give every player on the team a game ball after that victory on Sunday because it was a team performance. It was everybody. It just wasn't one person. How cool is that?
Oh, yeah. You know, if somebody bullies up on another team, that's absolutely, you know.
We're not
great
getting
sportsmanship.
Into this again. I was trying to say something positive. Kazepas, you don't think that's cool? Everybody gets a game ball?
No, I think that's awesome. But, I mean, at the same time.
Why not donate it to charity or something?
Yeah, I mean, those footballs aren't cheap. You know, like $100, $250
yeah, like
bucks
Bill,
every
Bill,
time they toss
like
one
Bill
of those
Belichick
things?
Doesn't have enough money already. Yeah.
Somebody pays for it.
Yeah, they don't pay for them. It's, you know, all these third world countries that have to slave over labor. Hey, thanks. Yeah, put it in another order for about 67 more because Bill Belichick wants it for
his
59-0 win.
That's how cynical you've become that you're questioning the cost of giving out a game ball. That's how cynical you are.
Go to a third world country and get a reality check. I tell you.
We'll move on. Talking Major League Baseball, the Yankees are now up 3-1 in the American League Championship Series. They're one game away from going to the World Series. I cannot believe I'm saying this. The last time I said this, 2004 was the year they were in the World Series. Lost
2003.
Oh, 2003. Lose to the Florida Marlins in that World Series. Josh Beckett.
A dominating team. I mean, that team had everything going for them with pitching. They had Carl Pavano, actually a good pitcher in the postseason. AJ Burnett was injured. But they had Brad Penny. They had Josh Beckett. They had absolutely awesome offense. Derek Lee, I mean, I can't even remember everybody that was on that team, but very good team. Nonetheless, been 6 years since the Yankees were able to go back to the World Series.
Almost 10 years since they've won a World Series. Let's get that straight. It's been a long time. But the guy that we talked about coming into this playoffs, who we weren't really sure what he was going to do, we were very skeptical. He's been the guy who has been the game changer. That guy is A-Rod. And I tell you what, this whole story with A-Rod, it's so intriguing to me because we finally got to a point with him. He was a superstar. I mean, he was the highest-paid baseball player, highest-paid athlete in our country. But he performed so bad when it came to the clutch. He performed so bad when it really mattered that he became an afterthought to people. So when he entered this postseason, it was, all right, we don't expect anything of A-Rod. So now that he's doing this, it makes it that much more impressive. And I hate to say it, but he's sandbagged for about 5 years, and now it's finally paying off.
Well, he's betting over 400. He's got 5 home runs, 11 RBIs. I mean, he's
crazy.
He's eclipsing his totals from 5 and 6 years' worth of stats. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. He's already second on the Yankee list for most home runs in a single postseason, and he's closing in on the RBI streak. He also is tied with Ryan Howard and, get this, Lou Gehrig for most consecutive games with an RBI, which is 8. He'll have a chance to break that on Thursday. You can't discredit anything that he's done so far. He's been an absolute game changer. Like you said, I think almost all of his home runs have either given the lead to the Yankees or tied the game up, which is clutch.
Yeah,
we're not used to saying that about A-Rod. But I think also on the other end is the pitching for the Yankees. All around has been really good, but it's centered around one guy, and that's CeCe Sabathia, who's won all 3 of his decisions. He's got an ERA under 1.50. He's been absolutely lights out. And really, if you look back and the Yankees are able to do the inevitable, what we predicted that they would do and win the World Series, I think you'll be talking a lot about CeCe Sabathia, and they might be sharing that award. Obviously, there's still one more game for the Yankees to win, which it's not inevitable. 3-1 comebacks. You look, just 2 years ago, the Red Sox were able to beat the Indians coming back from 3-1.
It's not happening. I mean, I love the Angels, and they've been
a good
story.
I don't think so. I think they look dead in the water.
They've played well for portions of this series, but the problem is they can't put it together for an entire game. They continue to make key mistakes at key moments, and it's killing
them. And really, the thing that I'm seeing, and I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything, just because I'm a Yankees fan, it's not just me saying this. This is me actually kind of breaking down the series, and it takes everything the Angels have and the Yankees going at their absolute worst for the Angels to really even have a shot, because the Yankees were only kind of halfway on. They had CeCe Sabathia pitching last night, doing great, but the offense was not there until the later innings. And then you saw when the offense started kicking in, they just blew away from the Angels.
The thing with, for me with the Angels is they exceeded expectations for an entire – for 90% of the season. And they
had the second most wins in the majors.
But they were a patchwork of a team on offense in their lineup. They were a patchwork of a team.
I don't know.
They've got great
– nine guys bat over 300.
Yeah, I know. But when you looked at them on paper, it was where did this come from? And at the end of the year, you never would have said – at the beginning of the year, you never would have said that was going to happen with that lineup. You wouldn't have thought that. They were – looking at them at the beginning of the year, they were a upper half team when you looked at lineups.
They've always been a good offense.
Oh, yeah, they've been a solid, but even when you looked at this team, they didn't blow you out of the water. Same thing with their bullpen, same thing with their rotation after all the injuries and all the stuff with Nick Heidenhart. I mean, they were a patchwork of a team. They came together because that's what good teams do, and I think at a certain point it had to end. It's ended now against the Yankees.
And that's kind of what I said at the beginning of the year, back in April, when a lot of people were saying the Angels might run away with the World Series and stuff like that. I looked at the injuries of Irvin Santana and kind of how he was dysfunctional coming out in this year. You look at Kelvin Escobar getting injured as well. A lot of guys just kind of fall by the wayside or had key injuries. And then you look at also Scott Shields in the bullpen. They lose their closer, Francisco Rodriguez. They lose Mark Teixeira to the Yankees. I think a lot of that had a big impact. Now, obviously, they gained Bobby Abreu, got him for a steal. But overall, I think that offense, like you said, they probably overachieved in the regular season. And in the postseason, it's really more about timely hitting and pitching. That's what it's about. Defense can take you pretty far, but as you can see, I mean, the Yankees had, two or three errors a couple games back, were able to win the game. Defense doesn't always really matter in the broad spectrum of things. It's a matter of getting great pitching and then, you know, bullpen being able to close out games and then just getting timely hits, you know, an error, reach on an error, something like that. That's what wins games, at least in the postseason, as compared to the regular season.
So that series, as I think we can expect it to wind down, maybe not in the next game, but I think it's inevitable that the Yankees are going to move on to the World Series. It's great for them. The storyline that everybody wanted to see, and we talked to Gar Ryanis, batting stance guy, earlier, he hit on it. We want Dodgers-Yankees. We want to see that old Brooklyn Dodgers versus the New York Yankees.
We'll see Joe Torre versus his former
club. Oh, yeah, there's tons of storylines there. People would love to see that.
Don Mattingly, Larry Boa, all that.
I don't see that happening, though. On the other side, that series is a little bit closer, maybe just by the way it's been played, but the Phillies look like the better team.
The Phillies look like, I mean, they've proven us wrong, I guess. Again, they didn't look like they really had anything in the first round, and then we thought the Dodgers would be able to take this, but really, from watching these games, I see the Phillies, that offense is just very electric. They know how to get it done. Much like the Yankees, they know how to get the timely hits. And the pitching isn't great right now, except for Cliff Lee. But it's getting the job done. And the bullpen, surprisingly enough, who I thought was going to be their biggest weakness, Brad Lidge, has actually been able to do a very good job up there, right up there with Mariano Rivera as far as top closers in the postseason.
The thing that has made the Phillies so dangerous throughout the year, and even now in postseason play, especially going into the World Series if they happen to finish off the Dodgers, is that they play both ways. And there aren't a lot of teams in Major League Baseball that can match up well against an AL team and an NL team. But the Phillies can play some AL baseball if they have to. You hit on that lineup. They don't just play small ball. They don't just focus on defense, although they do those things very well. And they do have great pitching, those are all the trademarks of a typical NL team.
They've got
up well with the AL.
They've got the best average and on-base percentage, and they're pretty close with home runs as well for the postseason.
Yeah, they hit for power.
They easily beat out all the teams. Well, they beat out all the teams for average as well. They're hitting .262, and I think the next highest team are the Yankees at .242, so they're easily beating them out on average and winning the on-base percentage battle as well. So they know how to get walks, they know how to get hits, and they know how to also swing for the fences, especially with Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, a lot of those guys. I mean, they're very multi-dimensional players. They know how to do it all. They play good defense, and really that bullpen's kind of come together. Brad Lidge has been able to actually put it together, which we didn't think he was going to be capable of, and Cliff Lee's kind of been their workhorse, and everybody's kind of followed suit. Cole Hamels hasn't been his greatest, but he's been able to get stuff done, and really they've had contributions from other pitchers as well, and have been able just to get by. And the Dodgers, just that offense does not look good enough. They've had some pretty good pitching from some unlikely people. Vicente Padilla, yep, has pitched pretty well for them so far. But overall, that offense hasn't come alive. Manny Ramirez has really been dead this postseason. Not the same player that we saw last year when, again, the Dodgers lost to the Phillies. Manny was just leading the whole team and trying to do it all himself. This year, you're not seeing that, and I think that's where they're kind of losing focus. They don't have one guy that can start to carry the team, kind of like the Yankees do with A-Rod and what the Phillies have in Ryan Howard. And I think that's a little bit of the difference between last year and this year, because if they have a good Manny Ramirez, a hot Manny Ramirez on this team, I think that changes the dynamic of this whole series completely.
It's going to be interesting to see. Like I told you on Monday night, these two teams played each other earlier in the year in interleague matchups, so it would be great.
And the Phillies won 2 out of 3 at Yankee Stadium.
And I think what we see is a lot of times you see these teams that don't play each other in the World Series, obviously because there isn't a lot of interleague matchups in Major League Baseball, but a lot of people like to say, oh, I like this because these two teams have never faced each other before. I can't wait to see that. But what happens is they don't know anything about each other. Sometimes it gets really sloppy, and there's really no sort of storyline to build off of there. I do like that cohesiveness with that storyline. If it can't be Dodgers-Yankees, I've got no problem whatsoever with seeing Phillies-Yankees. I'm not a Yankees fan.
Yeah,
I
think it'd be a great offense.
I do want to see the Yankees win a World Series. It's not good for baseball, quite honestly. Baseball needs the Yankees to be relevant. When baseball, for me, was at its heights, was in the mid-90s to early 2000s when the Yankees were there every year.
You know what? It's a lot like along the lines of, I guess, the Patriots for the NFL, and really along the lines of the Lakers and maybe the Celtics for the NBA. You know, everybody wanted the Lakers-Celtics for the NBA Finals. They got it, a couple years back. And now that the Lakers are kind of at a resurgence, they're back at it. I mean, they missed the playoffs a few years back, and it seemed like, you know what, everybody lost focus in the NBA. Now the NBA is really heating up. I know, Chris, you've kind of become even more of a fan in the last few years, and of course that's attributed to a lot to the Bobcats and what they're doing, but also is attributed to you. Hey, the Lakers are kind of the ire of the NBA now.
Well, I think, and we got to wrap this up because it's almost time for the checklist. We're running out of time tonight, but I'll say this. I think what happens is these storylines draw interest to something, and so with the NBA, all that's going on with the Lakers and the Celtics and the Bobcats being relevant, it drew me into the NBA, and I was able to open up and realize, man, this product is good. That's a stereotype to think that this is a product.
I think that's what everybody's kind of
exactly
buying into.
I think with baseball, two people say, oh, it's not America's pastime anymore. It is good baseball. It's not all steroids. It's not all that junk. And if it were a Yankees in the World Series, it's going to draw viewers back. Hopefully that'll help the ratings.
Got that. The Yankees series both already have all the games are the highest rated games for the postseason so far. So.
And who's surprised about that? It's 6:57. We got 3 minutes left to go. You know what? Checklist time. Kazep is... Please.
Fellas, I haven't heard you talk very much today. It's not normal around this place.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of complaints on Monday. Apparently, we talked too much, so somebody said, got to dial
like
it down.
Talk.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
What is this, talk radio?
Yeah.
I'm confused now.
Well, the rumors are untrue, fellas. Just JT and Jessica Alba have not called it quits yet.
Okay.
Since the accusations of Justin texting Lindsay Lohan. You got to wonder what's going on there. But
I'm disappointed because I was going to
call on the side. That's
I was
going to
go
wondering.
After her. Quite honestly, I thought I stood a decent chance.
Lindsay Lohan or...
No. Jessica Biel. What are you talking about?
Oh, my goodness. Well, this day in history, 1980, the Philadelphia Phillies won their first World Series. So it was...
Philly Fanatics.
Yeah, in 6 games beating the Kansas City Royals.
Still don't understand that mascot. Still don't understand it.
You don't have to.
It's goofy.
It just works.
It's a mascot.
It's funny.
In 2000, the New York Yankees beat the New York Mets 4-3 in 12 innings.
Most overrated World Series in my entire life I've ever seen. That Subway Series, I thought it was going to be something great. Yankees just dominated. It wasn't even fun.
Roger Clemens throwing the bat at Mike Piazza.
That's
most
the last.
Memorable
see,
moment.
That's the lasting memory. That's sad.
Well, coming with overratedness, you got it. It was the longest World Series game, 4 hours and 51 minutes. So pretty boring. Yeah,
could be top this year.
Hey guys, 20 days until the release of Call of Duty: Modern Warfare 2. I'm pretty excited.
Get pumped.
I'm sure you know there's a lot of people out there. Hopefully,
hopefully.
Yeah, you're not going to be at the show probably for the next few weeks after that.
The new iMac will be similar to the iMac Pro with new aluminum and edge-to-edge glass.
I think you're talking about the MacBook.
Yeah, MacBook. The MacBook, sorry. Yeah. Doesn't glass break easily?
I don't know. I've messed around
just
with those.
Saying.
Yeah. You can't even tell it's glass. It's like silky smooth to run around on that trackpad.
I don't know.
Definitely
sounds
very
sketch.
Breakable. I drop my laptop all the time, so
yeah,
got to be more careful.
Yeah. Ocho Cinco. Okay, all the what he's really famous for besides football because he's, I don't know. Ocho Cinco now has his own iPhone application, and it's called The Mix, M-I-X-X.
Oh,
What, have you messed around with it? Have you seen it yet?
I've seen a little bit. They got some polls, a couple random things. I don't know what's going on
it.
But
we'll have to delve into that.
Yeah, a little bit later. Find out more. And Ray Whitney of the Carolina Hurricanes playing his 1,000th game tonight against the New York Islanders.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Ray. He's the wizard.
Yeah, that's all I got, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, Hurricanes trying to get back close to 500 on the year. They're not playing very good hockey right now, so we'll keep you up to date with them as well. 7 o'clock, time to get out of here. We'll be back next Monday. Couldn't get Coco on tonight. Had some technical difficulties.
Let's try to get
that.
Him on next week.
We'll get him on next week. We'll take care of that for you guys. Thanks to Gar Ryanis, the batting stats guy, for coming on tonight. Also,
Darren Gant,
Rock Hill Herald, Carolina Panthers beat writer. We'll be back next Monday. Good luck, Apps. Black Saturday. You better be at the Rock making some noise, showing those Eagles some Mountaineer pride. We'll be back on Monday, same time, same station as always, for Brandon, myself, Kazepis, all the kids sitting in with us tonight. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. It's been Sports Out the Wazoo on 90.5 WASU-FM, online at WASURocks.com.